U.S. Senator Mark Jacobs. All right, thank you very much. What a great day. And this happens to be the 150th anniversary of Lincoln's Gettysburg Address. So a special day all around. So Eric Weiland, thank you for leading us in the Pledge of Allegiance with the able assist of the Young Larson Cub Scouts. We appreciate that. And Emily, thank you for that beautiful rendition of the Star-Spangled Banner. And Jack, thank you very much for your kind words. You've been a great friend for a long, long time, and I appreciate it. So it's great to be here, joined by family, friends, and my fellow Iowans today. And I want to start by thanking my brother, Steve Jacobs. Steve, for opening the doors to Infomax Office Systems today. You know, Steve took over the business our father started back in 1958, and he's continued that tradition of superior customer service and hard work that we learned from our father. And in fact, if anyone here in the group needs a copying machine today, Steve would be more than happy to take care of you. That was our deal, right? We're going to sell some copy machines today. So thank you, Steve, for opening the doors here today. You know, I'm very proud to have my parents here with me today. My father, Frank, founded this company 55 years ago. And in the early days, he did almost everything. But he would be the first to say that it was probably my mom's charm that kept him in business. And those that know my mother won't dispute that. But she was the one who called to collect on all the past due accounts. That kept us in business. So for Dad, Steve, and the rest of us, Mother, thank you very much for keeping us in business. And I want to recognize two other Infomax employees today. My brother-in-law, Randy Schlegel. Randy, raise your hand. And my nephew, Greg Jacobs. Greg, where are you? Greg is the third generation in the family business. You know, my parents embody the qualities we see in a lot of Iowans. Good values, a strong work ethic, and a commitment to helping others. And over the past few months, I've had the opportunity to go all over this great state, meeting with and hearing from a lot of great people. And I've listened to Iowans who farm our fields, who teach our children, who tend to the sick and to the elderly, and who work with their hands and with their hearts. And what I've taken away from them is this, that Iowans, like me, you're concerned that the opportunity to live the American dream is slipping away. And our leaders in Washington are incapable of solving problems. You're tired of being force-fed false choices, such as having to pick between reforming health care or keeping the government open, or having to choose between reaffirming the full faith and credit of our United States government or enacting sensible spending reforms. The true choice we face is either electing another politician and expecting different results, or choosing someone with a business perspective who can build coalitions and enshrine our conservative principles into law. We are drowning in debt and dysfunction in Washington, and we need a different type of leader. I've also heard from many of you who've said something along the lines of, Mark, why would a successful business guy ever want to get into that snake pit in Washington? And it would be easy for me to throw up my hands and leave these great problems for others to solve. But the Iowa values that brought me success in the business world now compel me to enter the political world. I will not stand idly by while the American dream becomes obsolete for Iowa families. Washington needs an infusion of common sense, leadership instead of brinksmanship, business sense, not political calculation. And that's why today I'm announcing my candidacy for the United States Senate. I am running to restore the American dream, to create opportunities, and to bring real-world, common-sense business perspective to Washington. And too often, Washington attacks the symptoms of the problems, not the root causes. And the core issue in America today is a lack of good jobs. When Americans are gainfully employed, families do better, crime rates decrease, revenues to the government increase and our deficits come down. And the bottom line is opportunities increase for all. Income disparity has never been wider in this country. What we need are more opportunities, not more government programs. You know, for all of the fiscal and economic challenges we face, if we were able to grow our government just 1% faster, just 1% faster over the next decade, we could wipe out more than half of our annual budget deficits. And I have five priorities to fuel economic growth and create jobs. The first is education. Now, many of you know that I'm very passionate about education. It's how we can break the cycle of poverty. But K-12 education is a state and local issue. And we don't need Washington calling the shots when it comes to our curriculum. But we have a skill gap in this state. I was recently in Davenport touring a manufacturing facility. They have jobs for welders starting at $30 an hour, but they can't find people to fill those positions. And that's consistent with what I experienced when I was CEO of Reliant Energy. We struggled to find skilled labor, and these are good paying jobs. So we need to close that skill gap. And one thing we can do is that we can help give community colleges and vocational schools the tools they need to help train the workforce for the future. And we should support those individuals who are looking to continue to build their skills so that they can get a better job. The second thing we need to do is to expand energy production here in America, including renewables. We need reliable, affordable energy that's produced in an environmentally responsible manner. Increased energy production can help add lots of new jobs to the economy and help us keep energy prices low. And if you'll pardon the pun, low energy prices can help fuel economic growth in other parts of the economy. And that can lead to more and better opportunities for people to get jobs. We need to open our federal lands and waterways to increased exploration and continue to build on the renewables we have right here in Iowa. The third thing we need to do is tackle costly Washington regulations. You know, I met a gentleman in Cedar Rapids who started three successful businesses. And he shared with me that if he were to start another business, it would probably be offshore. And that's because it's just gotten too hard to start new businesses in the United States. Now, don't get me wrong, good regulations are important to have, but when regulations prevent new businesses from starting and strangle economic growth, that's a problem. So how do we solve this challenge? Well, here's one thing we could do. We could require that any new federal regulation be reviewed by an independent third party to determine its economic impact. You know, my former job, I had a lot of experience dealing with the EPA, and I got to tell you, the cost-benefit analysis they did, it's asking the fox to guard the hen house. My fourth priority is tax reform. A competitive tax policy can help us drive economic growth. You know, as a CEO, I evaluated capital investment projects all the time, many involving hundreds of new jobs. And I can tell you that tax impacts often made the difference between a project that got the green light and one that got turned down. And our tax code in this country discourages new investment, and that's wrong. We need a tax policy that encourages new investment to bring jobs right back to our shores. And finally, we must reform health care. Obamacare is hurting families. Reduced work hours, lost wages, higher employee contributions, and in some cases, the outright cancellation of health insurance. All of that as Obamacare threatens to put the government in the middle of the patient-doctor relationship. Now, we all agree that everyone should have access to affordable health insurance, including those with pre-existing conditions. But the plan we were sold doesn't work. The big problem I see in the healthcare industry is the ever-escalation of costs. It's squeezing American families, it's increasing our annual budget deficits, and the truth is that Obamacare does nothing to solve that issue. What we should be doing is attacking cost at the provider level by introducing consumer choice and price transparency, free market principles that we use to restructure the telecom industry. You know, jobs are my top priority. In fact, you can't spell Jacobs without jobs. And if you send me to the United States Senate, I will make jobs for Iowa my number one priority. You know, the problem with Washington is not a lack of ideas, but a lack of results. Too many folks talk about the issues, not enough leaders get things done. As a business leader, my entire experience is in getting things done. You know, when I was brought in to be CFO of Reliant Energy, it was a company in dire straits. We owed over $6 billion to 23 of the world's largest banks, each of which was convinced that they were going to be able to take over control of the company. And I said, not on my watch. On two points, I would not negotiate. I would not cede control to the banks, and I would not settle for a short-term solution. But I listened to the banks, and I heard their concerns. And then we came up with an alternative plan that was better for the company and ultimately good for the banks, because we were able to repay them every penny we owed them within 2 years. When it comes to principle, I will always stand firm. But it's not enough to have the right principles. The art of leadership is knowing how to build coalitions to turn things into concrete results. I know what it's like to inherit a fiscal mess, and I've proven that I can bring people together in the private sector to solve problems. And that's exactly what I'll do in Washington, D.C. I will work with leaders of both parties to take on deficits and the debt crisis in America. I'll set a new tone that brings people together. We've had enough of the politics of division in this country. We need leadership by inclusion. After all, it's not the divided states of America, it's the United States of America. When I became CEO of Reliant, I brought people together, and I started by listening. I started by listening to people on the front lines. I talked to people in the back office. I wanted to hear what they had to say, their ideas. And I wanted them to know that I was invested in them, and that ultimately the success of the company fell on their shoulders. And it was my charge to work with them to develop a plan to help us get there. Along the way, we changed the culture, making it clear that we were all in this together. From the guy who welded pipes inside a boiler, to the mother who worked in the call center, to the top leadership in the company. There was no special treatment. We all carried the load. And that's the same message I'll take to Washington. The days of perks for the fat cats and crumbs for our families are over. Because American families deserve better. They deserve results. What we really need in Washington is leadership like we have right here in Iowa with Governor Branstad. A focus on results and getting things done without caring who gets the credit. You know, I begin this campaign with great optimism and great support. And joining me is the best family a man could ever have. And I'd like to ask my wife, Janet, to come up. Janet is the love of my life, and we just celebrated our 25th wedding anniversary in September. And I am so grateful to God that He has blessed me with such an incredible life partner. Thank you, sweetie. And she has given me the greatest gift a man could ever have. Three incredible, wonderful children. Clark, Christy, and Sam. You know, a race like this can take a toll on a family, but we're all on board. Although Christy did remind me that she's taking government class this semester. And she said, "Dad, if you end up running, we may talk about you in class, and that's embarrassing." We're in this for better opportunities for all Iowans, especially the next generation, like Charlie Comfort from Oskaloosa. Charlie's with us today. Charlie is 20 years old and already in elected office as a member of his local school board. I had never met Charlie, but I came home one evening and there was a letter from Charlie waiting for me. And it said, "Washington needs someone who isn't already a politician or a political insider. I believe that you will bring better ideas to the table than a seasoned political insider will. Iowa needs Mark Jacobs. I will work extremely hard to get you elected. I will knock on doors, make phone calls, and do whatever else it takes to put you into office. I've never been this enthused about a candidate before. We need a senator who will put their state first. You don't owe anyone anything." In truth, I owe the people of Iowa everything, because it's here where I developed a set of values that have carried me through life. And because of Iowa, I was able to seize on an extraordinary set of opportunities. So now, it's my time to pay it forward, as they say. For Charlie Comfort in Oskaloosa, for Samantha Welch in Waverly, for Brett Lilienthal in Durant, their potential is too great for our politics to be so small. We need jobs and we need opportunities. And our country is facing serious problems and we need serious solutions. I still believe in the promise of America, of a nation set apart is the envy of the world. I believe in America, you're only limited by the size of your dreams, where you can go as far as your vision and your work ethic will take you. That's the America I know and experienced, and that's the America I'll work to restore in the United States Senate, because that's the America that our children deserve, one full of jobs and opportunities. Thank you, God bless you, and let's get to work.